Well, Ellen, if we're playing a drinking song, you know what that means.
Oh, you're ready for a drink?
Or at least to talk about it.
Well, lucky then that we have our guest, Chris Moyer from the Hudson Valley Distillers is here.
Down in Claremont?
Well, I don't know if it's Claremont.
Where is it exactly?
Or Germantown.
It's Claremont.
Claremont. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been there?
So we started in 2014. So we're just starting into our third year.
And you've already won an award, I believe. What's the award, Ellen? You know, you're the maven when it comes to this information.
Oh, sure. It's the American Distillers Institute. Best in class for vodka.
Best, and what class was that?
That was for vodka.
Vodka. Is that all you distill?
No, we do vodka, gin, something that's local to this area called Applejack.
Ooh.
And we also do whiskey.
Which is your fave, Ellen?
Tom, I refuse to answer that.
You're right, because you love them all. I know you.
But
I shouldn't have asked.
You know, it's interesting. There are so many, seem to be suddenly, so many distilleries and other methods for making alcoholic beverages mm-hmm. here in the Hudson Valley and, I suppose, in New York State in general.
And that's because the state and the federal government have loosened up the requirements for this? Or?
Not so much the federal government.
The
but
state.
New York has been one of the leading states in the country for relaxing laws relative to distilleries. So we're sort of tied with California and Oregon for the most distilleries in the state. I think we're approaching 80 in the state of New York now.
Now, I noticed you're drinking a clear liquid. Is that gin or vodka?
I'd love to say that's vodka. It's actually water.
Ah, bummer. And you didn't bring any samples.
You know, I got them out in the van.
Ellen, party afterwards.
Maybe there's a commercial break or something. I'll run out there and get some.
Commercial break. No commercial break.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we have no commercials.
Oh, got it.
So explain how things have loosened up.
Yeah, so the big thing they did a couple years ago, and this was probably approaching about 10 years, they lowered the price for a permit. And in addition, they created a new class of distillery called a farm distillery, and that means that you have to source a certain amount of your ingredients from the state of New York.
So you can't just import things. So even is that true even for like a vineyard? Would a vineyard have to?
Vineyards are the same in that they have farm wineries mm-hmm. as well. And what happens is you get certain benefits if you're a farm distillery. And in our case, we can serve cocktails at our distillery. Now, if we didn't take on that limitation sourcing from the state of New York, we wouldn't be able to serve cocktails. But we actually have a little cocktail bar at the distillery to taste our products.
Now, you said, how significant was that drop in the permit price?
Oh, I think this was before we were in the business. I think it was something on the order of $10,000 to $15,000.
Wow.
And they brought it down to something like $500.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And so 10 years ago, there were no distilleries in the state of New York. And like I said, now they're approaching something like 80.
80. And was the feeling that other states didn't sort of limit this possibility through such a permission? I mean, requiring such a high fee?
Yeah, I'm not sure. There were some states that started this before New York, and it may have been that New York saw all the revenue and the tourism, everything from wineries, and maybe that's why they mm-hmm. started. But there is a huge gap in states today. Some states are very lenient, like New York, and so you see a lot of distilleries, and there are some states that are still very restrictive, mm-hmm. and they have one or two. I think we've reached a point where every state in the country has at least one distillery.
Mm-hmm. And I know that from my family who visited your distillery recently, that's one of the things you offer is a guided tour with samples.
Absolutely. Yeah. What we do there is we do tours and tastings, and, of course, we do cocktails in our cocktail mm-hmm. bar. But we have a 12-acre farm, and so we offer people the opportunity to bring a blanket, you know, bring your dog, bring your kids, and just sort of sit out in the lawn and then enjoy Claremont and Columbia County.
So what is the vodka made from that comes off the farm?
We make it from apples.
Apples?
Apples, absolutely. And it really makes a nice, smooth, almost sweet vodka, of course, as evidenced by the award that we just got. Now, most people, when they think about vodka, they think about potatoes or grains. So we are a little bit unusual, but we wanted to do that because New York is known for its apples. And so, of course, we wanted to do something local.
So do your other products, what? I mean, for your your whiskey, where do you, what do you use?
We get grains from a couple of local farms.
Local farms.
So our whiskeys are all locally made or locally sourced ingredients. Our gin is actually a collaboration with Hudson Chatham Winery. So we take their wine and we make a neutral spirit, and then we make, and of course they're local here as well. And so all the ingredients are sourced from, you know, Columbia County and maybe one or two counties away.
And how many people do you employ at your distillery, between the farm and the distillery?
Sure. So we've got the two couples, of course, so the four owners, and that's mostly who does production and bottling, advertising, administration, and so forth. And then in the cocktail bar, we have, at any given time, 3 to 5 people that are, you know, working part-time for us.
So how often is your, are your guided tours and your cocktail bar open?
Friday, Saturday, just Sunday.
Friday and Sunday, for the weekend. You're familiar with some of the, you know, there's a new kind of liquor license that people can get as well, right? That's a local bar here has. And that is, you know, normally, Ellen, as you, I'm sure, know, you can get a wine and beer license, or you can get a full license.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now there's a so-called New York State license where you can serve everything. I mean, it's easier to get. It's as easy to get as the wine and beer, but you can serve spirits if those spirits are New York based.
Oh, I didn't know that. That sounds
so. I don't know. Do they use you down at Hudson Brewery?
No,
you
I
should
don't
get
think
your butt down there.
I got to get down
because
there,
they
right?
They have this license.
Yeah,
and they were very happy to get it because, you know, they wanted to be able to serve more than just beer.
Interesting.
And they wanted to get their license quickly.
Oh, you mean our Hudson Brewery?
Our Hudson Brewery has this special a special license created in the same spirit by the governor to.
In the same spirit, you said?
Oh, Ellen, that's so funny. yes. And the idea was, you know, to make it easier if you use New York products. Because, you know, a full liquor license can be a long, drawn-out experience.
I love it. I'll be there right after this.
Yeah, it's right down across from the train station.
I've
and tell him Tom sent you.
I will.
I'm looking for a couple free beers, you know what I mean?
Excellent.
Going back a bit, how did you get into the distillery business? And I know you have a partner. And
yeah, you bet. It's a funny story. Tom was a fraternity brother of mine at college, so we've known each other for a very long time. I won't say how long, but
this wasn't Dartmouth by any chance, was it?
No. This was in Pennsylvania, Bloomsburg University of Pennsylvania, and so I went to lived outside of New York. Of course, Tom was a police officer here in New York in Newburgh. But our families would vacation usually every July 4th and every Christmas and some other times during the year. We'd sit around and, you know, have some drinks by a campfire. Well, my wife, Tom's wife, both Jennifer's and Tom became gluten intolerant. And so it was no longer, you know, Tom and I no longer drank beer together. So about 10 years ago, we started drinking spirits and we had local spirits. And we saw this, you know, burgeoning industry and we said, well, why can't we do this? And that kind of started it, and here we are today.
And is that why you explored non-grain-based products?
Yeah, that was, you know, our location, it was just easier in the beginning, and it was really kind of historically correct to be making things from apples, and so we started off that way.
Historically correct.
Yes, I have a bottle of their Applejack at home.
Yeah.
That my
Applejack is made out of apples.
Surprise, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've done some sort of looking into the history around here, and it was very common. In fact, back during colonial days, if you went into what equated to a bar today, and you know, you asked for whiskey, you'd probably get apple whiskey, which, of course, was made from apples rather than grain. I also had someone at the distillery recently who's writing a book on the history of Applejack in New York, and he told me that after Prohibition in Orange County, there were 16 Applejack distilleries. They eventually, during the 60s, kind of went out of business. You know, whiskey became bigger than Applejack. It's cheaper to make. And so they eventually got bought up by a national producer by the name of Laird's. And, of course, Laird's is really the only national producer of Applejack today. But from the colonial times, Applejack would have been the spirit that people drank. And, in fact, it's so easy to make because you can freeze distill it. And the process that they used to do historically was to press apples. You put it in a barrel. You let that barrel ferment during the fall, and then during the winter, as that barrel, the water would freeze and the alcohol wouldn't, you'd reach into the barrel, you'd pull out the ice, and in the spring, guess what? You've got Applejack.
Hey.
Let's do it.
You could do it.
No, I'd rather let them do
backyard.
It. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend doing that for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a felony.
Oops.
The other reason, though, is that there are some alcohols that when we distill by heat that we can pull off, and so it makes it safer and taste better. So there's a little bit of danger to freeze distilling.
Right. It would explode, in other words.
It wouldn't explode, but there's certain alcohols, methyl and acetyl alcohol, that we can take out when we distill through heat. But when you distill by freezing, those still stay in.
It could be poisonous.
It would be poisonous, depending on how you made it. You drink that in wine and beer, but it's not concentrated. But when you concentrate it by distilling, not something you want to drink. We take care of you that
Sounds
way.
Like it'd have a great kick, though. I don't know. But we're not going to do it.
How does this all relate to cider, hard cider?
Sure. So the way we make Applejack is actually to start with hard cider. So the process that we employ is we'll either press our own apples or we get apples from Ken Migliarelli, who's a local farmer down in Dutchess County.
Sure.
And we get that as fresh-pressed apple cider. We ferment that into hard cider, and then we distill it. So if we wanted to, we could stop right at that point where it's cider and consume it that way. It's the same hard cider.
Have you thought of getting into the hard cider business as well?
We've actually thought a lot about it, and we have some plans to do that as
well. Okay, because there's a lot of that activity is happening around as well. And as you probably noticed, in bars, it's become a more popular item than it certainly was 10 years ago, that's for sure.
Yeah, it seemed to happen like overnight.
Yeah, you know, you were playing that German music there in the beginning. There's actually a place in Frankfurt where they're known for their hard cider, and there's many bars in that particular part of Frankfurt where they specialize in
hard ciders.
Yeah.
Well,
you like those hard ciders, right, Ellen?
I don't know if I've ever had hard cider.
Oh,
I must have had
Is this the pretend part of the show?
Well, you're missing something.
At least he's not saying that all I do is drink white wine.
No, I. Well, because you made it clear you didn't want me to expand on that. Anyway, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about? I mean, everything's going well. I mean, your business is fine, and
yeah, we're getting more people all the time. And
are you in a lot of shops in the county?
So
or in the state,
we're in maybe 40 or 50 retail, restaurants, liquor stores, and that sort of thing. We really do focus on the distillery itself, though. It's meant to be a destination. Come and spend some time. You know, bring your family, your dogs, your kids. And so right now our business model is focusing on right there.
Because of production levels and all that kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, it's just we are expanding into that, but it's hiring people and, vans and deliveries and
more
everything.
Investment.
So it's much more of a destination at this point, although we're expanding our distribution network all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. And congratulations on your award.
Thank you so much. I thought it was interesting. I was listening on the radio on the way up here, and I think it was 40 years ago. This year when they had that wine competition in France, and that's when California became renowned for its wines. And so we'd like to see the same thing happen with New York, to be known for our spirits as well. So it's a great movement, this whole industry. I'm friends with all the distillers around here, and I just think it's great that everybody's growing, and there's a lot of opportunity in this area with wineries, distilleries, breweries, and cideries.
And drinkers.
There's a lot of that. When we were researching our business plan, it turns out that New York has the fourth highest per capita alcohol consumption in the country. So
you hear that, folks? Come on, let's get up
here.
Let's get be number one. Number one.
That's right.
It's hard to beat Nevada and Florida. I bet you they're one and two.
I knew Florida was, but I don't know who the other two were.
Yeah.
Well, they have these wine trails.
Yes.
And I'm sure they're including distilleries these days.
Absolutely. We're actually part of a wine trail, the Hudson Berkshire Beverage Trail.
Right,
We have a festival coming up on Memorial Day.
Oh, do you have a website?
I do. It's www.hudsonvalleydistillers.com.
That's distillers.
Distillers.
Not distillery.
Mm. Yes.
Like your hat.
Like the hat.
Can you buy a hat at the distillery?
You can. You could buy my hat.
You want a hat?
Not really. I'm just wondering. I know friends who like those kind of hats.
You bet.
So you have a website and your guided tours and what did you call it? Your
tours, tastings, and cocktails.
Cocktail bar, right. Yeah. Cocktail bar is open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Especially at under the circumstances.
Yeah, you bet. It was my pleasure.
We were really thrilled that you could be here.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.